Good morning, each one of you. It is a joy to be gathered here together this morning for the sole purpose of worshiping Jesus Christ and just looking to Him, being edified as a church. Thank you, brothers, for sharing this morning the opening there on Samuel and Saul and David. It's a sober warning of the things that happen when men do not follow God's will and His commands. And how God is sovereign. He has purposes and He has opportunities for us that are specific. And we don't always understand those all. Thank you, Arlen, for sharing that message of obedience and the warning of going the wrong way for the children and for us all. Appreciated that here this morning. So I just want to welcome each and every one of you in the worthy name of Jesus, that precious name of Jesus. And I think we say precious because there is none other. There is no other name under heaven given to us whereby we can be saved from the wrath to come. So that's why we gather in this way here this morning to look to the Lord Jesus Christ again for our lives, for our futures, and for all that we are. I was, seemed like the Lord laid upon my heart this week through various ways, just the title I would like to give the message this morning is Missed Opportunities. How many of us have missed opportunities in our lives to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to do what He has called us to do? You know, the list could be very different for different ones of us here, thinking of missed opportunities and how the Spirit will speak to us in a given day, a given hour or moment about do this for the Lord. And it's often it's very easy to forget that and to not do it. How many times a day does the Holy Spirit prompt you and I with an opportunity to smile, to speak a kind and encouraging word, or to give a warning that could redeem a straying soul? It could be speaking to us saying, go visit that neighbor that lives alone, that doesn't see anybody very often, doesn't see anyone very often. Maybe it's not someone well known to you or to any of us here this morning, but you know about that soul. So this message this morning is an encouragement to do those things which at times God has laid upon your heart to do, and if you're like me, you forget it. After a few hours or a few days, I'd like to do that. I'd like to bless that individual that I heard about or know about or have met. And I don't know, for some reason, I just forget. And it reminds me of this hourglass. I just flipped this over here. I don't know how long this thing goes. I think it's a half an hour. But there's a trickle of sand that's going through this hourglass as I speak here. And that's like your life and my life here this morning. And those we love. There's a trickle of sand that's going down through, and it's slipping through our hands. Our lives this morning are very short. We are reminded of that continuously. Maybe some of you have a family member that you would like to spend time with and talk to and learn to know better. and you would like to share the gospel with them, and you would like for them to come to a clear place, a place of walking with Jesus Christ with no regrets. You know, sometimes you can start, if you can't speak to them, sometimes you can start by serving them. Serving them in physical ways. Mow their lawn, clean their house, fix their roof, take a meal. And you might be able to think of other ways. Scripture exhorts us to visit those who are sick. Visit those in prison. And so the burden for the message this morning is, and I've had this experience in my own heart, there's times when I think of a soul that me and my wife or my family would like to go sing for or visit or minister to, and somehow it just doesn't happen with the busyness of life. And so this is a message for my own heart as well, just an exhortation to don't miss opportunities that are before us. I think about a year or two ago, there was an older widow in the community that I knew well over the years. Spent a lot of time at my mother's place, restaurant there. And so we were going to go visit her. And it kept getting pushed off and pushed off. And this happened and that happened. And you know how the list goes. And then about the time we were just ready to go, we got a call. She died. She passed away. And we were reminded of that again this week as my Aunt Rachel has passed on. We were together at the same place with them on Tuesday night that week, and none of us had any idea that this would be the last time we would meet her. And so it just laid a burden on my heart to, if you have an encouraging word or something that you want to minister to someone, do it now. This is December the 3rd of 2023, and it's less than a month until, Lord willing, 2024 appears on the calendar. Incidentally, it's interesting that I think this is the day, December the 3rd. I think back in 1989, my grandfather Graber passed away one morning of a massive heart attack, and he was 67 years old. So time goes on. Things change. Life goes on. I can remember one evening back in 2007. There was a summer evening, and the Byrne Church was having some meetings at the Monroe Holiness Campground. They had a speaker come in, and they were having meetings there that weekend. And so my wife and I drove down there, and as we were there, a brother came up to me, speaking of opportunities, and this is one that I didn't miss by the grace of God. So there's some of the opportunities that you have missed, and there's some that you haven't, and praise God for those as well. But often for me, I miss them. And so anyway, as we were going through the service, right before the service, a brother came up to me, and he said, "Hey, there's a family here that would like to go to up to your area right after the service. And I was wondering if you would take their vehicle and drive them up there. And I would bring your vehicle later." And right at first, I was unwilling. I was like, no, that didn't fit in my schedule. That didn't fit in my program. It was inconvenient. It was something that I wasn't used to doing. I didn't know the people very well at all, and it was just uncomfortable for me. But by the grace of God, I said, yes, I will do that. I talked to my wife, and we agreed to do that. And it was an opportunity that I will never forget. It was an opportunity to drive the Melvin Fisher family up here. I think we dropped them off at Toby and Barb, maybe. So looking back, you know, I'm so glad I didn't say no, I won't do that. I'm so glad that was the only night that we ever rode together and visited and talked and stopped at my mom's restaurant and had ice cream together. And those are opportunities that are beautiful. But how many missed opportunities do we have in a given day, week, or year? You know, there's some of you that are very gifted in that way. You're very spontaneous, and you think of things, and you're able to do them. And sometimes I find myself poor in that area of just being able to do that. So that's why I'm preaching about that here this morning. And I would just like for the Lord to instill in my heart a greater burden for just not missing opportunities when they arise. Some of you are gifted with sharing the gospel with one-on-one when you meet someone on the street or on the gas station, the sidewalk, or whatever. You can just share in a moment what something that Christ did in your life. And many times I miss those opportunities. So this is a call this morning and a message to exhort us all and to encourage you to do that thing that God has laid upon your heart and do it quickly. Do it. The time is running out. That grains of sand are seeping through. And there's a time coming. You know, for Rachel, it was Thursday night this past week. At whatever time it was, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock. She passed all the sand that was in her hourglass, just went through the bottom, and it was over. And all of us are at that same place. You don't know, I don't know, how much sand is in my glass. There may only be a few more grains. Some of us may not make it through the day. We don't know, but God does. So send that text, make that phone call. Stop by and visit that old friend that you no longer talk to anymore. You know, we often talk about the last words of those that pass on. So right now, people are saying, you know, asking questions. What was the last conversation that you had with Aunt Rachel? And if, you know, the reports are coming, you know, the last words. I think if I remember right, this is second-handed, but my sister said Chris told her at 5:30 that night before she left for the viewing up there, she called him and wanted him to come up and sing a song. I think Star of Bethlehem or something like that. And he said, well, he didn't go because he didn't have time. Something was happening in his circumstances that it didn't work. And so he missed that opportunity. And then when he went to the home after the fact, why, the songbook was laying open to the song that was unsung. And so many of us have those things in our lives that are happening today. They're happening right now. They're happening this evening, tomorrow, next week, next year. And so I just want to encourage us to don't miss that opportunity. But go and do what the Lord would have you do in that way. I thought of Isaiah, you know, the Lord, you know, often it's the Spirit that speaks to us and says, go do that. And sometimes we can become calloused. We can become weighed down with cares. And we can become calloused of the things that are happening in our lives. And I don't have time for that. I don't. And we miss opportunities. Isaiah 30, verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. So the Lord is speaking to us. Many of us can hear that voice at times. Make that phone call. Go visit that neighbor. Go visit that widow. Take her out for lunch. Take a meal over to her house. And yet many times the cares of life just distract us. Verse 18 in that same chapter says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will be exalted. Will he be exalted? That he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. You know, sometimes we miss opportunities because we don't wait. There's times when we don't wait on God. We tend to think, well, I'm just going to run ahead. Like Brother Matt talked about Saul. He thought he had to do that sacrifice right away. He couldn't wait on Samuel. And those are things that we face in life. And God wants to help us with that. Job 33, verse 8 says, "Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression, I am innocent, neither is there iniquity within me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me, he counteth me for his enemy." So as we think of that this morning, may we turn to the Lord and just continue to cry out to him, saying, "Lord, I can't, see all the opportunities that are around me, but you can. Order my steps. Help me to see that seeking family, that widower husband who don't know how to clean his house. But there's people that are here that could clean his house for him once a month or two and bless him." So to help us not to miss those opportunities. So maybe we could pray. If you want to all rise, and I'll pray here before we go further. Lord Jesus, we quiet our hearts here before you this morning, thanking you for this time together this morning. Lord, exhort us. Use your word to speak life into our hearts. Lord, change us. Help us to be more like Jesus in everyday life. Lord, help us not to be Sunday Christians that come to church and look good and act good, and other times we are not that way. Help us, Lord, to be consistent in our walk with Jesus. Hey, I pray for each one here. Lord, you know the multitude of opportunities that await every soul in this room. I pray that you would touch them this morning, Lord. Empower them, equip them, and help them to do those things that you have called us to do. And it is such a joy to serve. Lord, when we feel discouraged, we should begin to serve. When we feel down, help us serve, Lord, and it'll lift our spirits. Help us worship. And so help us this morning, Lord, as I share these few thoughts, that you would touch my heart as well, Lord. And you know the needs of just missing opportunities, Lord, in my own heart. And so I just praise you, worship you. Thank you for everyone that's here this morning, and pray that you would minister to them. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as you think of the month of December, there's so many dashed hopes and dreams in the society around us. So many have such, you could say, high aspirations. You know, they think of the holiday time of year, and much of that is, you know, basically ungodly. And yet there's many people are just very discouraged. And so the suicide rate this time of year, the month of December, I believe is higher than the rest of the year, because people just have a lot of letdowns. And so this is a wonderful time to look for opportunities. It's a wonderful time for that. And then there's one opportunity that I wouldn't want anyone to miss. You know, all the ones I've talked about so far, there are opportunities that if you miss them, there's another one coming down the road. They're like buses. You know, if you have a bus, you know, you stand on a street corner in Maple Crest here, there's a bus comes through every so many hours, and there's another bus coming, another opportunity. But there's one opportunity that if you miss that, you'll never have another one. And I think we all know what that is, and that's salvation. How are we going to escape if we miss that salvation that Jesus offers? So there's an opportunity here today for that as well. And we know that, I want to read there in James about our life, along with this hourglass here. So Aunt Rachel was 75 years old, and you know, that's not very long. Just about, you know, in light of eternity, 75 is just a few days, you know, just a few seconds, just a few milliseconds, if you will. And how many of us know how much time is left in our hourglass? You know, Sister Rebecca back there, you know, I think she's the oldest one here. And she has lived many years, and praise God for her life and what she represents here in the congregation. So may the Lord give her hope and courage in the time that she has left as well. So James 4:13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and it vanishes away. You know, it's kind of like the morning fog. You know, some of us, you know, in the fall of the year, you get out on the road early in the morning, you see that morning fog out in the low-lying areas. And you look again on the other side and it's gone. It's gone. That's how our life is. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, ye shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So consider that this morning as well. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. And so may the Lord equip us to continue to serve and not to miss opportunities that the Lord sets before us. You know, there was some time ago, maybe 2 months ago, many of you know Amos Pencil that just passed away. He on that morning, about I would say it's 2 days before his passing, I was going up that road where he lives on Roth Road, going up to the welding shop. And as I was coming up to the road, speaking of a missed opportunity here, he was close enough to crossing that he had to wait on me. And I thought, wow, that's, you know, maybe I should have stopped and talked to him. And so I went up to the welding shop, and I did my business. And lo and behold, I come back down through there, and he was at the same place on the opposite side of the road. And looking back, if I would have known that he had 2 days to live, I would have stopped. I said, Amos, how are you doing today? And we could have visited for a long time. He always liked to talk. And so that was a missed opportunity. And so going forward, I want to try to do better with that. I want the Lord to have his way with all the opportunities that he affords us. So this morning, as we think of opportunities, I wanted to look at Ephesians chapter 5, a couple verses there. I was just thinking of, you know, sometimes I need this exhortation in my life that when I think of an opportunity, I should write it down. Instead of I know some of you have the gift of putting a little paper, a little tablet in your shirt pocket here, and when you think of something, you pull out a pencil and you write it down. And that's a real blessing, because then you can remember it. But thinking about you know, a few ways to redeem the time. You know, some of you are involved in redeeming the time, little exhortation. It's a little working together. And I was thinking about Ephesians 5, 16 and 17. 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Who could say this morning that we don't live in an evil day? Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I believe that goes along with my message this morning, not missing opportunities. If I'm going to redeem the time, I looked up this morning in the Redeeming the Time 1828 dictionary of the definition. There's a few of them. It says to purchase back, to bring back, to rescue or recover from captivity or bondage. To redeem is to use more diligence in the improvement of it. To be diligent and active in duty and preparation. So those are definitions in the 1828 of redeem. Redeeming the time. We only have so much time. It's right. See this now, it's this hourglass, it's over halfway already. And so it's going down the other side. It's going downhill already. So number one, seek to hear from God first thing in the morning. Worship Him. Write down prayer requests that you think about and pray for those who you think that God lays on your heart. Number two, deal with sin in your life. If there's a sin that you're struggling with, confess it. 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins, for He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Sin dulls our ability to see opportunities. It has blinders. Sin, it will blind us. Number three, be observant. Take time to be holy. Gain an eternal perspective. Number four, focus on others. Smile. Be kind. Be a listening ear. Observe the golden rule. And also answer everyone with grace in your heart. Scripture talks about that. Number five, don't let a missed opportunity keep you from the next opportunity. You know, there's times when we miss one and we're just kind of like, oh, I missed it. But lo and behold, there's another one coming right behind it. So don't give up. Look for opportunities to serve and to bless and to worship. All of those things that God wants us to do. I thought of some scriptural characters, Bible characters that we could look at here in Genesis. I just thought of a few of them here in light of missed opportunities. Genesis chapter 7, speaking of Noah in the ark. Number 7 there, chapter 7, verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And rain was upon the earth 40 days and nights. In the selfsame day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons were with them in the ark. And I'll jump down to verse 16 for the sake of time. And they went in, male and female, of all flesh, and as God commanded them. And God shut him in. God shut the door. So there were millions, if not billions, of people that were outside this ark. And Noah preached righteousness for 120 years. He preached. And he told him judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Repent. Turn to God. For 120 years. And how many millions or billions of people lived in that day? You know, none of us truly know. But we believe there was a lot of people. But ponder this. They missed the opportunity. There was only 8 souls that went into the ark. Only 8 out of millions. To be safe, let's say millions. And it says the Lord shut them in, which means the door was shut and there was no way to open that door again. It was over. The ark only had one door to walk through and escape God's terrible judgment. That door for us this morning is Jesus Christ. And you don't want to miss that opportunity. You know, we think of open doors and closed doors. Revelation talks about open doors and closed doors in chapter 7. Revelation 7, or 3, verse 7, sorry. And the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So it gives the indication here. You know, God opens the door of salvation for every soul. But once that door is shut, the Scripture teaches us that it's over eternally. And we don't understand that all. We don't understand how that can be, but we believe God this morning. We believe His Word. He opens a door, but when the door is shut, it's over. And in our daily life, in our Christian life, God opens and closes doors as well. But when God closes a door in our spiritual life, in our physical life, He's usually protecting us from something or preparing us for something else. So may we be open to those doors that He opens and closed. You know, when God closes a door, we should say, "Thank you, Lord." Because He wants to mold us more and more into His image. I can remember that years ago. My mom would always say this story. She would say that after my dad's passing at a young age, she was very disappointed and very hurt and very discouraged. And she said she didn't gain hope from that until after she said, "Thank you, Lord, for what you have wrought in my life by taking my husband, you know, away." Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. So just thank the Lord for those closed doors as well in this life. I'm talking about 2 different things here as well. Hebrews 2, verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will." You know, God has a will. He has a will in everything. And we do well to seek that will. You know, going to Abraham and Lot in Genesis 13. Lot missed an opportunity to stay with God's people. Lot had this, I don't know what he had. What was it in him that he couldn't stay with God's people? The grass seemed to be greener over near Sodom. He had this hankering that he just wanted to go on. He wasn't satisfied there. He wanted to go to Sodom. You know, verse 7 of chapter 13 of Genesis talks about the strife that was between Abraham and Lot's herdsmen. And Abraham said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before us, or before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot, he lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes and he started looking. And I think he was looking at the wrong things. He was not looking at eternal things. He was looking at natural things. He lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered with everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So he pitched his tent toward this present evil world, you could say. And then I just had to think of this. You know, there's a warning that Jesus gave one day in Luke 17. He said, "Remember Lot's wife." He gives this little warning in here. Luke 17:32. It's just a three-worded verse. Remember Lot's wife. Then he goes before the verse, you know, he's talking about in that day in which shall come up, you know, upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And he says, remember Lot's wife. And in verse 33, he says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So I think it was talking about looking back. There was a warning that God had given. He said, don't look back. What was she looking back to? That remains to be known totally. But somehow she could not, it's evident that she had not released the things of that city, her home, etc. And she missed an opportunity that day to be with her husband and her daughters, to be saved from the wrath to come, to be saved from that judgment that fell upon that city that day. She missed that. And so Jesus said, you know, there, remember Lot's wife, and there was a missed opportunity there. And it says that she returned to a pillar of salt and remains there until this day. That's a sobering thought. She remains there until this day. So there's a word on your heart this morning that you're thinking about. And there's someone here this afternoon that needs to hear that word. That's the body edifying itself in love. Maybe it's an encouragement. Maybe it's a question. Whatever it might be. That's called fellowship. It's called, you know, exhorting one another in love. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. And we can go to Genesis 25. Esau, he sold his birthright there for a bowl of lentils. A missed opportunity, but the consequences lasted a lifetime. You know, Jacob, you know, just tempted him, "Sell me your birthright today." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And so we know the story. He gave his birthright to his brother Jacob. Look at these two brothers. They They lost a lifetime of close friendship because of a weak moment. Jacob used deceit until God gave him a holy limp at Jabbok. So he missed an opportunity there. Matthew 6:22 says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." So may our eye be full of light, and may it be single. I think having opportunities, seeing opportunities and ministering to them as God would help us to, it takes a single eye to do that. Just to have a single eye in everything. In Acts 26, we can think of King Agrippa. He had this testimony. He told Paul, he said, "Almost you persuaded me." Just almost. How many almost persuaded people are in hell this morning? They missed the opportunity. You know, Paul gave a message there, a wonderful message that I won't take time to read. In verse 26 of Acts 26, it says, "For the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Paul expressed some confidence there in that king. He knew that he knew enough. He knew that he knew enough to know Jesus Christ. But he chose to not be persuaded. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." He didn't wish these bonds. He had chains on his feet. He had chains on his hands. That burden that Paul expressed there, it's a beautiful burden. I pray that myself first and all of us together would continue to have that burden. You know, then they moved on to something else. I see the sand expired. That's about how your life and my life is this morning. You see how the sand all went through? It's expired. You know, in verse 30 it says, "And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice and they that were with him. And they were gone aside and talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Basically, he was saying he missed an opportunity. And he did what was, he shouldn't have did that. But I read, and I'm not sure, you know, you can read a lot of things, but that this Agrippa, he only lived 2 to 3 years after this, after he made this decision to be almost persuaded. So how many here this morning are missing an opportunity to forgive someone? To turn the other cheek? To surrender all? To submit to parents? To embrace the vision of the church of Jesus Christ? And then we can think of Judas as well this morning. As we think of the missed opportunity. Yes, he betrayed the Lord Jesus. Yes, he did what he shouldn't have done. But I don't know how you feel, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but I believe he could have repented. I believe he could have turned his heart and cried out like Peter did and said, "Lord, save me, forgive me. I was coveting silver and gold, but I know now that I need Jesus." In And we can think of the two thieves that were crucified on each side of Jesus in Luke 23. We don't know exactly what all happened there that day. We just get a little glimpse here in some of the Gospels. Luke 23:39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." Do we see the unbelief in that thought that he brought forth? Do we see the evil heart of unbelief? "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." There was an unbelieving, wicked heart there. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So from 12 noon to 3 p.m., darkness covered the land. Physical darkness. So this morning we can see that there was a choice. These two men had, I believe, the same opportunity. The one embraced it, confessed his need of Christ, and is walking the streets of gold this morning. The other rejected it. He said no. And he mocked God. He mocked Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus never missed any opportunities. Even in his dying moments, he reached out and saved a criminal. He saved a criminal that day. And John 2, you know, Jesus, he knew what was in man. John chapter 2, 24 and 25. "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." He knew what was in those two men. One was hanging on the right and one was hanging on the left. He knew what was in their hearts. And he knew, I believe, because he was divine, that the one would accept him and the one would not. And the one would surrender, the other would not. So this morning, Jesus never missed an opportunity during his 33 years here on earth to do good to those in need. One day, Jesus was walking on a path and he seen this little man run ahead and climb up a tree. Little man called Zacchaeus. Jesus observed that, and he did not miss that opportunity. In Luke 19, "And he ran and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully." I like the way that verse 6 expresses how he did it. He did it joyfully. "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." I don't know what Zacchaeus' life was like back in that day, but he was a tax collector, I understand. You know, I was, some time ago, a few years ago now, there was a farmer from Ohio that he came probably 30 years ago, and he wanted to buy a table from me. And there was a 42-inch round oak table, and we agreed on a price, and he, at the time when I got it in and I finished it, he came to pick it up the one day, and he come in, and he sat down, and he started looking at me right in the eye. He was just like staring me down, you know. And finally he looks at me and he says, "I paid you for that table, right?" And I just, it kind of made me cringe. I was like, did I miss something? Did he pay me and I didn't know it, or I forgot, or what? And I just looked at him and I said, "No, you never paid me." And so he just sat there for the longest time, just looking me right in the eye, you know. And finally he reaches down, he pulls out his billfold real slow, and he gets 100, 200, 300, lays it on the table, and here's the money, you know. And so I don't know if Zacchaeus was that kind of a man or not, but maybe he would get paid the taxes, they would pay him their taxes, and maybe he would look at him and say, "You never paid that last payment. Give it to me now." And he would take that money and take it home, and yeah, covetous hearts do those things. But, you know, he would take that dollar bill and he would finger it. You know, he would take it and he would go like that, make sure there was only one. And he was, yeah, it just, I should have shared the gospel with him that day, but he intimidated me and I didn't. But it was a missed opportunity. So anyway, going on here, we don't know. Somehow, I believe it's Zacchaeus here. He would somehow get money that wasn't his. He did it somehow, and he said he was going to restore that fourfold. He was going to make restitution for the money that he stole from people. And then verse 9 says, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And so this morning, that's good news, that there was a man. It says not only him, but his whole house was saved because of a decision he made to just give up all for Jesus. I don't know what was going through his heart when he was making that dash to the sycamore tree and climbing up that tree. We don't know what was going on in his heart, but I believe there was a surrender going on there. There was a surrender happening, and he was giving up everything for Jesus. He saw something that day that he decided that day there was nothing more that he wanted than Jesus Christ and peace in his heart and joy in his heart. He gave up all for Jesus that day. You know, and we could talk about Peter. The faith that he needed to walk on the water, and the faith that he needed to repent of his denial of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 14, verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray." He was redeeming the time here because the days were evil. He went up into a mountain to pray, and when evening was come, he was there alone. You know, there is a need to get alone with God. "But the ship now was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And about the fourth watch," this fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. "of the night, Jesus went with them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.'" And you know, the man that Peter was, he wanted everything that Jesus had for him. He did not cower in a corner. He came forward. "Here I am, Jesus. I want what you have for me." He didn't miss any opportunities. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if thou be If it be thou, bid me come upon the water. And he said unto him, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. You know, when the boisterous winds of this world, the adversity of this present evil world come upon us, sometimes we begin to be afraid. We begin to sink. But Jesus is saying, cry out to me. I will lift you back up. I will hold you up by my right hand. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. How many times have Jesus caught you and preserved you and fastened the anchor again in your heart and life? Helped you to make the anchor more firm by your faith in him. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and there they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, Peter never wanted to miss anything that Jesus had for him. What about you and I? Are we all in? Do we have both feet in the kingdom? Are we all in? You know, there was an opportunity there some years ago that I was thinking about that. You know, how in light of this sand going through the glass, it was a crucial time in my wife and I's life where we were faced with decisions about what we were going to do as a church, or where we were going to attend church, and whether we were going to receive a believer's baptism or not. And yes, I was trembling and shaking, and I didn't know which way to go. But the Lord at that time, he took a dear friend of mine that was very close to me. Well, I shouldn't say real, very, very close, but well known to me and in my life quite a bit, be a better way to say it. And he was just suddenly killed in a construction accident. And the Lord just laid upon my heart immediately that the sand is going through your glass. Are you going to follow me or not? And I chose that day to not miss that opportunity, praise God. So it was a deep valley for me at that time, but God used it in my life. In closing here, we could think of in 1 Samuel, verse chapter 25. I know Matt was earlier there in the chapter, but going on here, I was just thinking of an opportunity, and I won't read all that for the sake of time. But I wanted to look at Abigail and Nabal there, and David, how David made a mistake and got mad one day. And this lady, Abigail, came to rescue David and her husband, I believe. 1 Samuel 25, verse 32. Well, I'll start in verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young man, Get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him by my name. Thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace both be to thee, peace be to thine house, and peace be to all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now the shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came and spake to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is this son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away from every man his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my shearers and give it to men whom I know not whence they be? And David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt. Neither missed anything as long as we were conversant with them that were in the fields. And they were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. You know, just thinking of Abigail here, she saw this situation. David's anger was kindled. I won't go into all of it. But he made a vow he was going to kill them all. And she saw an opportunity here to make a meal. And Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on the asses. And she said unto her servants, Go before me, behold, I come after you. But she told them not. She told not her husband, Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertaineth unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So the more also do God unto the enemies of David. And if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning, light any that pisseth against the wall. And he saw Abigail. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted, lighted off her ass, and fell down before David on her face and bowed before him on the ground. And fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him, but I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Did a sin. And so we can see that she saw an awful situation unfolding, and she saw an opportunity to bring a peace to the situation and reversed it. And it came to pass that about 10 days after, well, I'll read to verse 37, it says, And it came to pass in the morning when the wine was going out of Nabal, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him. And he became a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after the Lord smote him that he died. So I was just thinking about that in light of, you know, missing opportunities and working out broken things, broken relationships. You know, be careful with this one. If you don't care to make peace or reconcile, you're in a dangerous place. You're in a very dangerous place. This says here that his heart died within him. And I don't know what that looked like, but it obviously means that he did not care about what happened. And that goes against Scripture, and it was very, You know, I believe Abigail did what she could there to bring restoration. But sometimes there are things that are impossible to, to heal, if not all are surrendered. But in closing here, 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." You know, that charity that covers, it overlooks unkindness, and you know, it's not selfish, and it seeks the best for others. In other words, it turns the other cheek. So may the Lord bless each one of you and pray for us that we would not miss opportunities even this afternoon. God bless.